Thank you for joining us for the Tucson Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Brent Armstrong. This podcast features the messages from the teaching and preaching ministry at our church. Tucson Baptist Church is located in Tucson, Arizona, and we are committed to loving God, growing together, and reaching our community. If you would like to learn more about our ministry, please visit TucsonBaptist.com. We pray that today's message is an encouragement to you.
The harvest. I would like to preach a message focused on the harvest. Of course, to harvest means to reap the crop. Imagine the farmer going through all the toil every year and there's no harvest. All the preparation and the planting and watering just for fun. Kids may play at farming, but not farmers. It's their livelihood. They understand. They can teach us something about farming. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 to 25, there's a description of what we call the works of the flesh, and then there's a description of the fruit of the Spirit. And here, Paul speaks about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. And we've just gone through this cycle here at Tucson Baptist Church where there was a lot of planting, there was a lot of watering, and then there was a harvest. And I desire to preach a message this morning that focuses on the harvest. And our text is found in Galatians chapter number 6. And it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. If you've been at church any length of time, you have heard these verses. But I believe that with God's help, we can perhaps refresh these verses in our mind and understand the importance of the harvest and your direct involvement in the harvest. Listen, as the Bible says in verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Father, would you allow this service to continue in the same sweet manner that it has already taken place. And that, Father, that we might hear from you, we would never make a mockery of that which you desire to do in our life. And Father, we would understand that we all are sowing, and therefore there's always going to be a harvest. So Father, help us to grasp the spiritual principle today. With your help, may your Holy Spirit enlighten us and open our minds and our hearts to that which you have for us. We love you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look at this text and use it as our focus and our attention about this word harvest and look at what lies before us. It is available if we'll yet be a farmer. You will plant seeds, you will water those seeds, you will reap a harvest. So with this in mind, let's just examine some basic farming principles. Here's farming principle number one. Everyone sows seed. Everyone sows seed. The Bible even said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Here's some things that I find about having grown up on a farm, having planted lots of crops, and having grown corn and potatoes and green beans and something called okra that's disgusting, and growing lots of different crops growing up, there's some things that I've learned, and here is this. There is a divinely established law of identical harvest. There's something called a divinely established law of identical harvest. Like fruit comes from a seed, consider this passage in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The harvest is not going to be according to what we know. Some of us have a great head knowledge. Some of you could actually take the Word of God and perhaps you could expound on a verse far better than I could even imagine expounding on that verse. Some of you have great head knowledge, but the harvest is not based on what you know. The harvest is based on what you sow. And I have wondered since our Easter Project 520 effort, if anyone, perhaps even in our own congregation that's seated here right now, has had even a small regret due to their lack of participation in our effort to reach our community. You didn't sow, and therefore you didn't reap. I fear that sometimes we believe that, honestly, as Christians, as people who say, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, I honestly believe that some of us, we live our life as when I take my last breath, it's over. Without a full understanding and a comprehension that one day there's going to be a judgment, and that everything we do in our life since we became a Christian is going to be judged, and therefore, there are going to be rewards. There's going to be a harvest for what you do here in this life. Some of us, we have sown very little, and while I am absolutely still rejoicing and astounded by what happened at Easter, I also know this, I'm not blind to the fact that there were many people who did not participate. Sadly. You sowed. You sowed nothing, and therefore you will reap nothing. Do you realize that a harvest was realized? Those who chose not to participate actually will reap what is called a barren harvest. Listen to what Peter said. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So I find that everyone sows something. And then there is a divinely established law of identical harvest. If you sow an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree. If you sow nothing, you're going to have a barren harvest. But also, I see there's a divinely established law that a harvest will come. That a harvest will come. The harvest will be identical as to kind and quality and hopefully even more in quantity. But if we sow good seed, we're going to reap good crops. And if we sow barley, we're going to reap barley. And the Bible says if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. But the Bible also says this, if we sow sparingly, we shall also reap sparingly. And the Bible says if we sow not at all, we're going to reap nothing. But this I say, the Apostle Paul wrote, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm reminded of a story I read about a man whose landlord decided to sell the property that he was renting. The renter for years had had a beautiful garden and had developed his garden on this property, and he was very upset that his landlord would actually sell the property of which he owned. Anyway, the man who was renting the property, he got understanding what was going on here planting seed and cultivating and watering and tending to the garden. He understood that if he would find the most bothersome and peskiest weed seeds that he could find and he would scatter them about, that he was going to show his landlord a thing or two. And he did just that. That was all good until the landlord called him a couple months later and said that his son's wedding had fallen through and he no longer was going to sell the property and he could stay and continue to rent and keep his garden. Folks, we will always sow. We will always sow. And because we sow, there's always going to be a harvest. I remind all of us that everyone sows some kind of seed. What seed are you sowing as a Christian, as a believer? What is that seed? Well, farming principle number two is this, is you cannot bypass the sowing and reaping law. You say, I know better. I know that I can do whatever I want to. I'm my own person. I follow no one's rules. I remind you of a principle: you cannot bypass the sowing and reaping law. Listen to what our text said. Be not deceived. God is not, or we could even put it this way, God will never be mocked. So here's law number one. Law number one is be not deceived. This means do not be led astray. Let me share a couple ways that we are deceived. We are deceived when we think that seed in the barn will produce a crop. We're deceived when we think keeping the seed in the barn or the building will produce a crop. The harvest will not be according to how much we know, but how much we sow. As I said earlier, neither plans to sow, wishes to sow, nor a fondness of sowing have ever produced a harvest. Programs and attendance and activity and brotherly love, they're wonderful in the church, but they do not produce crops. We must plant seed. I'm reminded of one of the greatest shoe towns that the U.S. had known. It was known for the best cobblers and the best factory, lots of money in this town, seminars, but there were no shoes in this town. And here is the principle: if you don't make shoes, you will have no shoes. But this is a shoe town. That's what the sign said. Best shoe town in America. But there were no shoes. Oh, we can say that we love people, but if we're not willing to sow and invest in the lives of people, we will be barren of new people who know Christ. We are also deceived when we think that seed sown and left alone will produce a harvest. We are also deceived when we think that seed sown and left alone will produce a harvest. My friend, there is planting, and then there is watering, and there is weeding, and there is fertilizing, and there is praying. Spiritually speaking, all of this must be done. I remember growing up in West Virginia, and as a young teenager, my dad would say, it is time to take the hoe. And it is time to take the hoe, and among the green beans, we would take the hoe, and I would take the hoe, and it seemed like hours after hours. It probably wasn't that extreme, but it seemed like hours upon hours, this long rows of green beans, and just going through and getting rid of all the weeds and killing them with the hoe. And then there were times that we had to fertilize that, and we'd take these handfuls and measure it out and scatter them along the green beans. And then we would literally pray for rain to happen, as we didn't have irrigation back then, but we would pray for rain. So there was always work. Here's what I've learned: therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Fact is, folks, that we are to be planting seed, and we are to be watering that seed. We're to be praying over that seed. And the fact is that some of us, oh, God help us, that we're content to sit in our seats and let everyone else to be the farmer. But I find that nowhere in God's word is any Christian excluded from the command to plant seeds. We're also deceived when we think that planting one kind of seed will produce a different crop. We're also deceived when we think of planting one kind of seed is going to produce a different crop. May I take you to Matthew chapter 7, and please listen. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You have a piece of paper. Some of you do it. Maybe it'll be a good encouragement to you. Can you name the name of the last person that you led to the Lord? Was it this year, 2024, 23, 22, 18, 09, 1998, 1987, 1976? When was the last time that you saw the seed that you planted and watered, and there was a harvest, and you saw that person come to know Christ. Our neighbor may not see the seed, but they'll see the crop. They'll see what you are actually sowing. Here's law number two. God, and law number one, we learn, be not deceived. Or law number two, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. No one likes to be made fun of, but especially God. We mock God when we try to reap spiritual crops with worldly seed. God sticks to his guns on his punishments and on his promises. And I can assure you on the basis of the authority of God's word that God will not allow spiritual things to be produced by carnal means. The flesh and the spirit are as different as death and life. And we must sow God's seed and we must sow it God's way for God to send us a harvest. And I believe with every fiber of my being that that is exactly what we tried to do over Easter. Is that we prayed over that seed. Before we ever went and planted that seed, and we went and planted that seed, and we continued to pray over that seed, and we invited people to come to church, and then what happened is there was a great spiritual fruit that was harvested on Easter Sunday morning. God is mocked in that sometimes we try to do it in a carnal way. I hate to even tell you this story, but I saw it, watched the video. There was a very large men's conference a couple weeks ago at a church. At a church that's a big church. At a church where there's men everywhere. At a church. Did I say that? Where were they meeting? At a church. Now, I want to say how far our country has come. Fallen in the fact that they brought in a male stripper on a pole to swallow swords. And there was a pastor in that group, and I don't know that much about the pastor, but he got up and he called out what had happened, and the pastor of the church asked the other guy to leave. I'm telling you that God will not be mocked. That's perverse, it's wicked. And there still is something holy about my God. God will not be mocked. There's only two kinds of seed. There's one good seed, and the other seed is an evil seed. There's only two ways to sow it. One for the body and our own self-gratification. The other is for the higher life of man's eternal soul. And we can selfishly feed or sow to our personal appetites. Or we can sow for God's bountiful blessings. But make no mistake. God understands our intentions perfectly. And he will not be mocked. The Bible is crystal clear that sowing to the flesh can only reap one thing. And that is called corruption. And we sow to the flesh when we sow to our carnal, self-pleasing, worldly lives. Likewise, we also read that sowing to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. We sow to the Spirit when we sow according to the revealed will of God, that which is pleasing unto him. And what we sow depends upon who is in control, either God. God has promised a harvest. He will not be mocked by allowing those in sin to long escape his judgment. He will not be mocked by allowing his laborers to be unfruitful. The Bible says that one of his labor that's unfruitful is good for nothing but to be cut off and thrown in the fire. I want you to notice this morning there's a third farming principle that's just common sense that any farmer can tell you. The harvest is assured. The harvest is assured. Oh, it's easy to become discouraged when we look at the world. Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes on him. It's easy to get discouraged when we look at the world and it seems that the world is having the time of their lives. Sin looks fun. I jokingly said, but there's an element of truth to it, is I had the opportunity to go to the Pima County Fair on Friday night. Oh, the smell of popcorn and cotton candy and all of those turkey legs. And I mean, there's something about the smell at the fair. It's amazing. And there's laughter and there's noise and there's lights. And so we went with our children and our grandchildren, and we went to the fair, and the only thing our three grandchildren were interested in is being able to ride the rides. And I was able to get videos of them laughing, and then mom and dad taking our grandchildren down the long slides. And our three grandchildren were completely oblivious to the observation I made, and that is that we were in the 10% minority. We were very weird people. Here's what I mean by that. There was 10% of the group at the fair on Friday night that looked like us, acted like us, and there was 90% that was completely different than us. So we had to be the weird ones. I've never seen so many piercings and all different kinds of places, and people dressed in goth and people dressed in nothing. And it was just disgusting and revolting. Like everywhere you looked, you had to look a different way. And I understand that there was some headbanger or hard rock and roll music going on Friday night, and that attracted a certain crowd. But I just tell you, that wasn't the crowd we were. We were in the minority. And the Bible tells us that sin looks fun. And there was a lot of people that, quote unquote, had fun. I asked Pastor Jonathan, I said, where do these people work during the week? I'm serious. They were having the time of their life. Sin looks fun. Why should you live the Christian life? Why should you care? Why should you care about sowing good seeds? Would you consider our text again? We must be diligent in our dedication. The reason I must live this Christian life, the reason I must sow seeds, is I must be diligent in my dedication. Our text said this: do not grow weary. We're not to allow ourselves to become spiritless or exhausted in this race called the Christian life. And there's many reasons to grow weary, and perhaps not every seed sown is going to grow. And yes, there are weeds, and the chaff and the wheat, they grow together. And a fruitful life sometimes comes through death. Even John 12 says that. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We must die to ourselves so that Christ can be lifted up. Did you know that it was God who is the one who decreed this phrase that there's going to be for a due season in our text? We may not understand everything, but we have a responsibility to be diligent in our dedication to God's calling on our life as a Christian. And that is that we're to sow seed, we're to water seed, we're to pray for the harvest, and we're to be prepared for the harvest. Consider our text. We must avoid that dangerous defection. We must avoid what I call a dangerous defection. Our text says this: if we faint not. Faint means weakened. It means too relaxed. It means exhausted. What do we mean that we cannot have another faith failure? When it comes to the harvest, let's recognize a couple things about crop failure. Harvests are not realized often because the soil is wrong. The tares or weeds are abundant. The seed may be snatched away by the enemy. The wrong seed is sown. There could be corrupt seed, like a mutated tomato. There may be worthless seeds. There may be wrong seeds. There may be a good seed, but the field is not maintained. There could be that there's not enough workers because of the seed that was sown. There's a lot of reasons that crops fail. It's easy for pastors and it's easy for people that love their church to become discouraged, for this crop failure describes many, many churches today. May it not be our church. And it won't be our church if we will be the farmers that God has called us to be, and that is to plant seed, to plant spiritual seeds and to water those seeds and to pray over those seeds. It's exceptional what God has done and is doing here at Tucson Baptist Church. And this morning, I greatly desire for all of us to understand that a harvest has come, will come, and will continue to come. Seeds sown shall not always remain a hidden thing. Listen to what Genesis chapter 8 says. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. In the Bible, men and women are supposed to sow with tears, and joy then is reserved in the harvest time. But one thing is certain, if a man consulted his risk and sowed sparingly, the Bible says he's going to reap sparingly. And the Bible says if he consulted and considered, you know what? Someone may make fun of me. Someone may disown me. Someone may not like me very much. Someone is going to give me a hard time or laugh or mock at me if I spare seed. And so you refuse to sow any seed at all. Guess what? You'll have no crop at all. Would you please, I know that oftentimes the verses are on the screen behind me, but can you look in your Bibles at this one last passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 9? Turn over a few pages in your Bible to Matthew chapter number 9. Maybe this is familiar, but I believe there is a great lesson, a reminder, as I apply this message personally to all that are in attendance here this morning or by watching by live stream. In Matthew chapter 9, drop down to verse 35 and following, the Bible says this, "And Jesus, he went all about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.'" Church family, it is time that we enter into God's labor force to go to harvest. We've got to stay focused. That's our theme this year. We've got to stay focused on the mission. Here is the mission: plant, water, prepare for harvest. Plant, water, prepare for harvest. Plant, water, prepare for harvest. It's mundane. It's over and over again. It is our mission that what we're to do. The Bible says this is the time for awareness because the fields are white. John 4 and verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Someone wrote, not long ago, I was riding with a man through the country. "Elmer," I said, "why are those fields so white?" Because the wheat is full grown, he replied. "Wheat? I always thought wheat was golden." "Why, yes, it is, except when it's overripe. And then when it gets overripe, then it becomes very light in color." "Oh, Elmer, now I understand why the Lord told the disciples the fields were already white. The grain must be gleaned immediately." The time for workers is now because the laborers are few. This is the time for prayer. The passage says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest." This is a time for action. Send forth the laborers. This is the time for joy. In Luke 15, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Have we lost the joy when someone gets saved? Have we lost our ability to pray for those who are lost and on their way to hell? You see, we don't like to use sin. We don't like to use blood. We don't like to talk about death in churches anymore. We want to be uplifted, and everything is cotton candy. Everything is cream puffs. But folks, literally, today, people would die and go to hell in Tucson. And perhaps you know them, know of them. Next Sunday, we're going to have a beautiful opportunity to harvest our friendships. What I mean, we can bring our friends to church so that we can plant the seed of the gospel into their lives. You can then water that seed throughout the following days and weeks until that golden brown desire to accept Christ. And then you can seize upon the opportunity to harvest another soul for all of eternity. But folks, if we don't invite people, we don't tell people about Jesus, there's no way they're going to get saved. We have a responsibility. Make no mistake, if you're not planting and watering, there will absolutely be a harvest. It's going to be a disastrous crop failure called a barren harvest. Another soul headed to a Christless eternity. Please, we must focus on being excellent farmers, and I implore you this morning, plant, till, water, fertilize, plant, till, water, fertilize. Let's go. Let's do this. I want to be your cheerleader. I want to be a coach. I want to be a help. I want to be a pastor. But the fact of the matter is that it's not reserved for five people in our church. It's reserved for all of us to do. You say, well, pastor, I don't have any friends. Oh, that's terrible. Pastor, I don't have any lost family members. Praise the Lord. Go find some other people that need to hear about Jesus. Well, pastor, my coworkers don't like it very much when I talk about Jesus. Be the best example that you can in front of them. Don't be different on Monday than you are on Sunday. Be faithful in your testimony. Plant, water, get ready for the harvest. Plant, water, get ready for the harvest. So here's my challenge to you this morning, and I'm finished. What seed will you sow this week? Will you look for even one opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ? Yesterday, I was out and about, and I had a jersey on that said Christian Cycling, and I was at a traffic light, and I just pulled up, and I was next to an SUV, and the back window goes down. And there was an older lady. She stuck her head out. She says, "What is Christian Cycling?" And I said, "Well, it's a group of people that love Jesus, and we like to cycle." And she goes, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." You love Jesus?" "Yes, I pastor a church." "What church do you pastor?" "Tucson Baptist Church." She said, "Well, I'm going to come and visit your church then." We get grumpy and we don't like talking to people. Folks, people want the truth. They do want to hear the truth. They want experience love. This world is sending people to hell. It looks like they're having fun until they're in private. And in private, they're not having fun. We have the answer. We have a living book. We have a book that gives us the answers. We have a God who speaks to us through his book. And yet, we'll toss it in the back seat in just a few moments. Not to be thought about for 7 days until we gather again next Sunday morning at 10:30. This book has the answers and the encouragement that you need to plant seed, water, and get ready for the harvest. Who will you talk to this week? Who will you try to reach? If you're here this morning and you're visiting with us and you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I beg you, I behoove you, I urgently, I passionately tell you to please trust Jesus Christ today. He's the greatest person that's ever lived in this earth. His work is finished. He died for us. He was crucified. He gave his life so that we can have life eternal, and it's available if we'll believe in him. The message is primary to Christians. Did you catch that? Be not deceived. God will not be mocked. In other words, stop pretending and start planting. Stop pretending and start planting.